Well, back in the long ago day of 1863, the Civil War was raging here in the United States. The war was between the North and the South, of course, and it was over the issue of the enslavement of black people. Well, in March of that year, a man named Charles, who was 18 at the time, walked out of his parents' home and joined up with Lincoln's army. Charles had turned 18, and he had discussed with his father many times about his desire to go and fight on behalf of the Northern Army to fight the South in the Civil War, and his father had repeatedly told him no. A couple of years earlier, the mother of the house, Charles's mother, had passed away tragically, and the family was still reeling from losing their mom. But Charles, nonetheless, in March, left his father's home, joined up with Lincoln's army, and a week later wrote his dad a letter saying that, "I have left, and I'm sorry that I didn't get your permission first, but I felt it was something that I needed to do." Charles continued to fight and got into the army and was in numerous battles. And right after the battle of, I think it was Gettysburg, was won, Lincoln declared the first really public Thanksgiving. It was the very next day after Thanksgiving of 1963 that Charles was shot while he was fighting. The bullet went in one shoulder, passed through his chest, and went out the other shoulder. And when the doctors examined him, they found that it was a good, clean wound. The bullet had gone through, but the bullet had nicked Charles's spine. And their prognosis was that Charles was going to be paralyzed. He would be a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. A few days later, he arrived in Washington, D.C., was there under the care of doctors, and his father came to get him. And as he was there getting his son, the doctors let him know about the diagnosis, about what they expected for Charles. Father loaded him up, took him on train back to his home, and there his dad and his family began to care for Charles. They took care of him day and night. He was very sick and ill, feverish, not moving. And there was always the risk that he would die from some kind of infection. Charles's dad became more and more despondent as the weeks went on. He was upset and angry about not only his son, but his wife, and various other things that were going on. And as he was going about this melancholy depression, Charles sat down one morning. And he was going to, the father sat down one morning and was going to put onto paper all of his feelings. And these are the words that he wrote. "Overwhelmed and sad, despondent. But before he wrote them down, noise began to catch his ear. The bells began to ring. They weren't announcing that daylight had arrived, and nor were they telling the time. After a moment, he realized what was going on. Charles's dad realized that what he was hearing was a song by Isaac Watts being played by the belfry. Joy to the World. Another belfry played Handel's Messiah. Another belfry played O Come, All Ye Faithful. And all morning long they played." Charles's father realized it was Christmas Day, and so Henry Wadsworth Longfellow changed what he was writing. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day. their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannons thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Longfellow set out that morning to write a song of his depression, of his anger, his frustration, of all the difficult and evil things that were going on in the world and in his life. His son lay dying, potentially never to walk again. His wife was dead, the war was raging, everything seemed to be so miserable. And yet, it was the sound of the Christmas carols played from the belfries of the churches that reminded him that despite all of the evil in the world, despite all of the death or the pain or the hurt or the troubles that he was facing, that a very important thing happened. That God sent his son. That God sent his son into the world meant something incredibly important. It meant that God had determined that justice would be served. That God had determined that he was going to rid the world of evil. And because God had determined that there would be peace on earth, he sent his son. John the Baptist's father said something very similar. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 67. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praised be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through the holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." The words of Zechariah speak of a day that they did not have in Zechariah's time. The people of Israel were occupied by the people of Rome, governed by them, under their rule, under their law, and not free. But the words of Zechariah mean so much more than just the kingdom or the temporal governance of this world. Zechariah spoke of a time when there would be no more sin. Spoke of a time of being free from the enemies that would want to destroy our very souls. Zechariah is speaking of what Jesus would bring into this world. God has determined that he is not going to let evil win. Jesus was born into a world of hate and injustice,
of death and pain and sadness, just as Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and his son lived in, and true, just as we do too. But God sent his son into the world means that God is determined to change it. Unto us a son is given, not so the world might remain the same, not so that we might be unchanged by it, but so that the world might be changed by Jesus coming into it. The words that we so often hear associated with Jesus, redeem, save, mercy, rescue, enable, those are words that describe God's discontent. They are words that describe God's determination. They describe God's will to stand against evil and sin. God has determined that he does not want this world to go on as it always had. And so he sent his son. He sent his son so that we might be changed. He sent his son so that this world might be a different place. He sent his son so that sin might not rule and reign, so that death might not have the victory. He sent his son so that there might be peace on earth. For that reason, we have this promise, this hope, that God has determined that evil shall not win, that death shall not rule, but that life and hope and joy and love and God himself might rule and reign. He has determined that he will not leave this world doomed to those destructions. But his desire is that it be saved, that it be changed, that it be made new, and he has begun with you. He has given you his spirit that it might rule and reign within your hearts, and through that spirit that his reign might spread throughout the whole world. You may face challenges and struggles and difficulties, and they might feel overwhelming some days. But remember, God sent his son, and he has determined that evil shall not prevail. What is right and true will win the day. God has determined that the right shall prevail. When you stand upon truths, you can stand against all of the frustrations and the sorrow or the heartache that might come your way. Christmas is a time of great emotional swing. We have all this hope and joy and life, and at the same time, we have this feeling maybe of loss, feeling of hurt. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We put our faith in the one and only Son of God. And we have the hope that God will not let this world run its course as it wished. But instead, we have the hope because God sent his only Son so that we might have joy and peace and life eternal. Let's pray. Lord, as we think about the great hope that we have of eternal life, some days, Lord, it can feel like you are far away. It can feel, Lord, like you are distant at times. And yet we have this great and solid hope that because you sent your only son, because you sent your one and only into this world, that you are determined to change it. That evil shall not win, that death shall not rule, that sin should not reign over us. But you sent your Son to set us free. You sent your Son that we may have life and life forevermore. Lord, renew in our hearts this Christmas season the hope that we have in you. That you are the God who brings peace to this earth. That you are the God who will eradicate all of the evil and the enemies that stand opposed to us. And so, Lord, we stand with you. We stand with your Son. And, Lord, we believe in Jesus, the Christ, whom you sent to be our Savior, to be our Lord, to manifest for us eternal life. Lord, upon this, our hope is secure. We praise you and you thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.